Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we chatted to Doncaster Rovers legend James Coppinger. James has been at Rovers for 17 years, and he's 40 years old now, and he's got a special honour awaiting him for tomorrow's game, which he told us all about. Also, we played a little quiz with Andy, which was courtesy of Judd Trump, the snooker player. You'll hear that as well. We had a bit of a chat about various footballing matters and more. We heard from you on some of your weird and wonderful names that you'd be given and how you arrived at them. And Martin Kellner joined us for a week of sport on TV, while Mike Ward brought us the non-sporting telly. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And a bit of a, I saw a little bit of the football last night, sort of morale-boosting win for Spurs. I think you needed that, really.
Yes, yeah.
It was a winning feeling.
It was. We had a little moment, you know, a slightly stressier second half than you'd expect when a team were...
3-2. Yeah, right, with that one, smacked the crossbar.
Yeah, it could have been a very different last 20 minutes. So it needn't have been that stressy. And the great first touch of Moussa Sissoko, always a joy. You never quite know where it's... Never quite know. Dog chasing a balloon, you never quite know where it's going, but there we are.
Roger Hunt thought it was in it, incidentally.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I've gone on that for 6 hours.
It was the game of the night, though, I guess, was the Antwerp Rangers. Oh, yeah. What a crazy... You said you took in a bit of that, did you?
Yeah, I caught the end. I caught the penalty at the end. Oh, God. The penalties in Europe are ridiculous. I mean, absolutely bonkers. The one on Smith Rowe, I didn't think that was a penalty. The one on Abdoulaye Seck, I mean, just... I don't know how you get out of the way. I don't know how this is handball. It's mad, but that's the rules, you know, the way they do it.
All five British teams in place, you would think, at home in the second legs to get the job done. So it's a good night, I think, generally. You know, you imagine Arsenal at their place, they'll have enough for Benfica. The one that interested me was Kasper Schmeichel taking a bit of clog from the in-house TV channel, who said he was overweight and wore a corset. But they weren't happy with the pitch, nor was Brendan, apparently, in the stadium. But he also said, we always knew it was going to be a very tough game with a terrible pitch and a terrible football. But surely, don't they use the standard Europa League football? Maybe he obviously didn't like it in all the previous rounds, but I don't know what was wrong with it. Was it flat? What was it? What was going on with the football? Maybe Jeff Peters, who was our man keeping an eye on the game, can tell us, but it seems a bit weird.
He might be able to tell you about the ball, but he won't be able to tell you the score.
He won't tell us the score in the birthday spread, as he proved yesterday. He's working so much on the production, he's actually not doing his job. But anyway, we'll try it again next Thursday.
Yeah, I must say, Moose coming on after I was on doing an absolutely terrible Indeedy gag and then blaming me. I thought I was really rich. You know, as from Andy, I thought you'd love to be able to write gags like that in the birthday spread, honestly. Now, what a classic he is, that bloke.
We're going to chat to Nick Campbell later on, who played rugby for Scotland, alongside Gerwin Price, the world dance champion. Not for Scotland, but at club level.
No.
And that would have been weird. And we'll be chatting to him. His name is Nick Campbell. He got his name, apparently, and we'll try and stand this up later on, because his mum couldn't decide on a name when he was born, and then she saw Nicky Campbell come up on the hospital TV and thought, yeah, that's a good name, I'll go with that. So that's how he got his name. Because, yes. I mean, it could have been anybody on the telly. Couldn't be Archie McPherson. It could have been Archie
Campbell.
Could have
been Lady Colin Campbell. That would have been good either.
That wouldn't have been great, no. So no. We just wonder if you've ever got to the root of how your name was arrived at. Is it as random as that? Is it as random as someone just appearing on the telly when you can't think of a name? So let us know the weird and wonderful name, weird and wonderful ways you arrived at your name, or indeed, you know, handed one maybe to your kids, etc. So talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and Jam. We'll read the best of them out throughout the show.
And the other thing I noticed in Europe as well is that the Spanish teams, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when Atletico, who are top of the Spanish league, come up against Chelsea. Because Barca, Sevilla, Sociedad last night against United, apart from Granada beat Napoli, they're not doing too well. So, you know, you wonder what the standard of the league's like. We'll find out next week. Yeah. Obviously, Atletico are the best team in the league. So, did you see that story from Russia that Andrei Arshavin's wife faces eviction from her place? Yeah. She's got until midnight to get out, or 11 o'clock the next day.
Oh, God. Of course, yeah, of course it is. The paperwork will come through about 2 or 3 weeks later, but and so she'll be allowed to stay. There we are.
And, thank you. Lionel Messi, although they're denying that City are going to do a deal with him, but apparently he wants a 5-year deal. I mean, how slow is he going to be at 38? He's barely moving now. Yeah. I wouldn't give him the 5-year deal.
You can't be giving him 5 years. That's bonkers. That's
crazy. Not the sort of money he's going to want. That's just crazy.
Now, I didn't realise, Andy, until yesterday, that the way they work with staff, they train staff to do all the jobs that need to be done in a Crown Court, is they run a kind of mock trial and everybody plays a role. I suppose it makes sense. You bring everybody in. It's like a training course.
Yeah.
And they did it, apparently, earlier this week at the Old Bailey. And they come up with some sort of old, obscure offence that they like to try people for. And in this case, it's one going back to 1986, actually, not that far. Section 32 of the Salmon Act.
And
it's called the offence of handling a salmon in suspicious circumstances.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which I'm hoping is poaching related and nothing else. But what about that? I mean, imagine getting nicked for that, Andy.
Is that because they're lice-ridden, according to Nigel.
Yeah, that's true. You're just sitting there one day and you say, what are you in for, mate? Oh, yeah, you know, driving too fast. Well, what about you? Oh, I was handling a salmon in suspicious circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit of a weird one, isn't it?
It is. And what's this one here? Oh, yes. The Greek tourism minister is in the news at the moment because there's plans for people to be able to go to Greece on holiday, possibly vaccination passports. And the Greek tourism minister is a bloke called Harris Theo Harris, known as Chopper, obviously, in the dressing room.
What's Greek for Chopper? Well, don't give us the colloquial version, please, Anglo-Greek listeners. We don't need any of that. By the way, I've got something for you, Andy. You told us last week that your wife, Sue, is recovering from a stroke at the moment, played you at Scrabble. It was you, obviously, trying to help her recuperate, and she beat you. Which didn't surprise us after your fine performance in the Mensa test many years ago, where we were checking for a pulse. Well, honeybees are good at maths, apparently. The Royal Society Journal says bees were trained individually to find a sugary reward by identifying the placard that had the most shapes on display. Cut a long story short, honeybees are good at maths. So if you want to get some honey, if you want to work on maths as well, get the honeybees in because they'll be better than you.
But the mad thing was we played another game and she was beating me and then she started helping me and then I beat her. She stopped helping me.
I think that's good. That's all good therapy that she's doing stuff like that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Plenty of you have got to the bottom of why you're called certain things. I got my name Gary because my mum liked Gary Cooper, says Gaz the Burnley fan. It's old Western, see? It doesn't take much, does it? My dad wanted to call me Leighton Orient. Luckily, my mum got involved and put her foot down. Didn't stop me getting Leighton as a middle name, though, says James in London. That's a shame. Orient, that would have been great. Mum and Dad were having trouble finding me a name. My old man was in a public lavatory and emblazoned on the urinal was the manufacturer's name, Ross. Yep, that's what they went for.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It gives you a good story, though, Ross, doesn't it?
He could have been called Armitage Shanks on that basis.
That's very true.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Cambridge will slot it home. Yeah! And he does so. Cambridge has turned it into the empty net. It's promotion to Doncaster Rovers. Can you believe what's happened in this last minute here?
Was it quite incredible moment. I'm sure a lot of you
presume
remember.
That wasn't the Brentford club commentator.
It wasn't the Brentford club commentator, no. Off the bar for a pen at one end, put in by James.
I remember it well.
At the other, yeah, really dramatic moment. 17 years he's been at the club, and tomorrow they'll be stepping out in a kit that he's designed with his kids. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Good to hear that again.
Yeah, it gets me every time. Yeah, goosebumps, to be honest.
You threw your shirt into the crowd and then sort of thought better of it because it was such an historic moment and sort of pleaded to the fan that got it to get it give it back. Did you get it back?
Yeah, I eventually sort of pleaded, I think, through Sky Sports, got it back, and we sort of replaced it with a replica shirt for him, but it wasn't an easy sort of getting it back off him. Yeah, he wasn't happy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, say 17 years at one club. I mean, yeah, it was a little loan period, I see, Forrest. But beyond that, continuous service. I mean, were there times when you nearly left?
Yeah, there was opportunities for me to leave around sort of 29, 30 when we were in the Championship and doing well. But for me, you know, I never really sort of saw a reason to leave. The club almost matched my ambition as I was going into my sort of late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, I've really enjoyed my time at the club, and the club have been magnificent with me, both on and on the pitch and off the pitch, to be honest.
What's the secret to your longevity? Is it yoga or something like that?
You know, I say this all the time, but I just love playing football, and I have done. I never wanted to be a professional footballer, so it wasn't something that I professed and had a real burning desire to do as a young kid. But I really loved playing football, whether it be down the park or playing at Wembley against Leeds in the playoff final. It doesn't really matter to me. So I think waking up every day, just loving training, going in, and just loving what I do. And I think that has been the secret to why I've played till I'm 40. Mm.
Has it got tougher, the sort of waking up in the morning after the matches? It probably does feel very different than it did 20 years ago, doesn't it?
It actually doesn't. You know, having two kids, my kids are 12 and 13, and sort of as you get older, I think you appreciate the position that you're in more. So going into training and trying to help sort of the younger players, trying to lead by example. I was captain at 36, 37 and led Doncaster to promotion, and you almost feel that responsibility and it comes with it sort of more enjoyment, or it has done for me anyway.
The shirt that you've designed, it's an interesting one. It's gold, so it's a lovely looking shirt. So tell us how you arrived at the design.
It was just asked by the club if it was something that I'd be interested in doing. I've always loved getting the latest shirt. I think any footballer will tell you, training kit and match shirts. And, you know, it's that putting that on, it's almost like your uniform. And growing up, it was like my shirts always had just two colours. And then it evolved into 1990 World Cup. And then you have the imprints, and then it all changes. And then to be asked to design a shirt where they have like the 26 within the shirt, that I can pick the colour, the design, I put the collar on. I think they had the sort of 2004 to 2021 on the back, a little sort of signature. So there's a lot of work went into the design of the kit, and I actually really enjoyed sort of, again, with my kids and with the kit man at the club, sort of putting it together.
And the lads have come up with some matching boots. They're incredible.
Yeah, that was this morning. I wasn't aware of that. And yeah, the lads are brilliant. And hopefully I'll get to wear them tomorrow, fingers crossed, along with the kit.
You're going to have to play well wearing those. So.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. No pressure.
They'll get noticed, certainly. Yeah,
golden white.
Yeah, you've had a couple of... You've had a bit of a knock, haven't you? So is it still touch and go tomorrow?
Yeah, I've been back probably 5 days, 6 days. and the team have been doing well, although the last few results haven't been brilliant, but we're doing really well as a group. So it'd just be good to be involved tomorrow and play some part in the game.
Yeah. You're 40 now, aren't you, James? You've hit 40 already. Was it last month?
Yeah, 40 in January. Yeah.
Right.
Which, again, was another milestone that I wanted to hit.
Yeah.
When I was 20, in my 20s, I always set sort of a goal to get to 40 and still be playing. And like you say, I'm still doing that and contributing. But this will be my last season, and I will be retiring at the end of the season.
Are there any other 40-year-olds playing at that kind of level? I mean, I can't think off the top of my head.
I'm not entirely sure. There's a few lads, Kevin Ellison playing the league below, that's doing really, really well. And, you know, I just think, well, personally, you know, as you get older now, there's so much more to do with looking after your body, sports science, nutrition, recovery. And I'd like to think that in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see players playing longer.
Yeah, yes, good point.
And Zlatan puts it down to taekwondo, apparently.
Yeah.
I was reading this morning. So I don't think
everybody's got their own way of doing it. So there's no secret, James. There must be loads of Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon football thinking, what's the secret? I want to carry on till I'm 40. But there's no one thing that you think you've done that's kept you going.
I genuinely think that my body's conditioned. Like, I played average 40 games every season for the last 19 seasons. So like 600 and something games for Doncaster, over 800 appearances, and my body's almost conditioned to play games. I've been very fortunate not to pick up injuries. And I go back to it, I just love playing football. So I think for a lot of players, when they're playing at a higher level, they struggle to come down the levels and get motivated. A lot of people are motivated by money, and when the contracts aren't there in their 30s, you know, they lose that motivation. But for me, that motivation has never changed. It's always been, I love playing football. So yeah, I genuinely put it down to that. And like you say, it's going to be really difficult and really strange for me to retire at the end of the season, because I've been doing it since I left school at 16. Yeah.
And is the plan to coach, James? Is that what you're hoping to do? You're going to do your badges?
I'm not, no. It's not something that I've got my heart set on or anything that I want to do. I've not done them. But, you know, time will tell. I'm actually mentoring players. I work a lot around the mental side of the game, on mental performance. I've been doing that for the last 5 years. I've got my own company. So I really enjoy doing that, sort of passing on my knowledge and experience to other players.
Yeah, we should mention it's a different shirt sponsor tomorrow as well, isn't there? Whatever charity you're involved with.
Yeah, sort of LNER have done a really good thing. They do it every year. They offer it out to Calm. And again, around mental health, the club are doing some fantastic work with Calm. And like you said, under the current circumstances, it's probably, it couldn't be a better sponsor on the shirt for me anyway.
It's a shame that the fans aren't going to be there tomorrow to sort of mark the day, isn't it? What a great, I mean, I'll tell you, it's going to be difficult for your family as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I've got my kids sort of dying to come to the games, and my wife and my dad, who's supported me my whole career, who hasn't been... obviously been able to get in and support me this season. And it's been tough. And, you know, the fans are asking me to play one more year, and I do get it. And I would love to play one more year and, you know, go out that way. But that's never the case, you know. For me, it's about trying to do my best this season. I was always hopeful that the fans would get back in. But you never know. I think the club might do something. I might come back and play in a game or try and say goodbye to the fans, because... 17 years at one football club, it's like my home, and the fans have been unbelievable to me, you know, through the ups and the downs, to be honest.
Well, enjoy tomorrow, James. Good talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ford. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Andy, Judd Trump went out of the Welsh Open snooker,
I believe,
Andy Goldstein is operating at the moment. And he went out and he didn't like the conditions in the room. It reminded him of China, where he plays over there. It was very humid in the Celtic Manor Resort. And he said, apparently, it was more like Nanjing than Newport. So I thought, why don't we have a little quiz? Why not this afternoon? Why don't we play Newport or Nanjing?
Or Nanjing, of course.
It's the quiz they're all talking about. Newport or Nanjing.
No questions about Chinese restaurants in Newport. That's not fair.
Okay, well, look, let's see what comes up. Because I'll kick you off with the first question. Here we go. A little bit of tension. This is for the fridge freezer and the heated rollers. The Clash's Joe Strummer once lived in Nanjing or Newport. Clash's frontman, late great Joe Strummer. Nanjing or Newport?
It's got to be Newport, surely.
Why'd you say that, Andy?
I just can't imagine. It's more likely to have lived. He's from
a very successful band. You're going Newport, are you?
I am, yeah. Newport.
You're absolutely right. There's even a plaque there on Pentonville, apparently, near the railway station. He might have done the very exotic world of rock and roll. He lived in the property in 1974 when he was at art college. So well done. 1-0, Andy. You knew more about Newport than Nanjing. Andy, where do they hold the annual Plum Festival? Is the annual Plum Festival held in Newport or Nanjing?
Of course it's not held in Newport.
Why not?
It's in because they don't have things like annual Plum. That's such a Chinese thing, the annual Plum Festival. So I'm going Nanjing.
Are you sure? You don't? Fair enough. You would be right, yes. The annual International Plum Blossom Festival. It's held on Plum Blossom Hill. You get the idea. And it houses the largest plum collection in China.
Well, there you go.
We've had the largest plum collection in North London over the years. I can tell you our place. And and they also have the Nanjing Peach Blossom and Kite Festival. You don't normally put those two things together, do you? But well done.
Been moved to Newport this year, apparently, COVID reasons.
Where would you find a ton and a half each carved from oak pandas? Oak pandas that weigh a ton and a half each. Where would you find those? Would you find those in Newport or Nanjing?
Well, given that the panda is a sort of symbol of China, you'd have to go with Nanjing. I'm prepared to be surprised, but I'm going with Nanjing.
Okay, well, next time you're on the roundabout near Mouth Pass in Newport, look out for the carved oak. Yeah, pandas. You're wrong, Andy.
There you go.
Newport, the home of pandas, but obviously not real
ones.
I didn't
know that.
I hope you're playing this at home, rather pointlessly. This is off the back of a throwaway comment by Judd Trump. So
Chi-Chi and Dai.
Yeah. which is twinned with Leipzig in Germany? Is it Nanjing or Newport?
I don't know. I'm going to say Newport.
Okay. Twinned with Leipzig. Well, I'm afraid you're wrong, Andy. It is Nanjing, along with a lot of other big cities around the world. Newport has got two, one of which is a place called Kutaisi, which is the second city of Caucasian Georgia. And the links go back to 1989 and were formed in the final days of the Cold War, when countries that were part of the Eastern Bloc were looking to twin with other cities, and Newport stepped forward. So there we are. You're learning. This is
And I am a big fan of RB Nanjing.
They're a good side. They are a good side. Okay, then. And finally, Andy, you've not done... How have you done? You've done... We've got two so far. Two right, two wrong, haven't you?
Two wrong. So this is the decider.
Where might you visit the Dragon Palace? Where might you visit the Dragon Palace?
Well, the obvious answer is Nanjing, so I'm going to go, knowing your sense of devilment, I'm going Newport.
You're saying Newport, really?
I am saying Newport.
This is for the car. Okay, you sure? It's a lot riding on it. It is indeed Newport. It is a Chinese takeaway on the Chepstow Road.
I knew it.
And I know you'd love their signature dish, Andy. It's curry beef with onions and peas.
Very Chinese.
Fantastic. So there we are. Congratulations, Andy. Well, how did you do at home, folks? If you live in Newport, probably better than Andy did, but we got him with the pandas. I want to go to Newport now to check out the pandas. It sounds good. So there we are. That was. We won't be doing it again. Although if this was Max, he'd string this out for about 2 months. Newport or Nanjing there, a one-off Judd Trump-inspired quiz. Just a bit of fun.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now, of course, Martin Kellner with A Week of Sport on TV. And just hearing Fletch talk about the two Everton players coming back. Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Allen. It sounds like a vent act, doesn't it? Cracking the gox. Well, you could say what that, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, couldn't you?
You definitely could. Yeah. You definitely could. Yes, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I have to salute the BBC to start with, because back on the iPlay, and I'm sure I reviewed this once in 2018, when it was the 40th anniversary of Scotland's great adventure in the 1978 World Cup going to Argentina. And when I say Scotland, I don't just mean the football team. I mean the whole of Scotland. It was a fantastic adventure then. They put it back on iPlayer. I don't know why, but definitely if you'd not seen it and you missed out on it when it was the anniversary, definitely watch it.
I did watch it at the time, Martin. You're right. It's absolutely, it's an excellent programme,
isn't
it?
Beautiful. Yeah. It's beautifully made. Scotland 78, a love story. I mean, it starts with the story of the Glasgow butcher who sold his shop so he could go to Argentina. And it's full of great stories like that. Fantastic. There's people who work their passage over on a boat. Mm. There's a remote village in the Highlands. And they didn't have TV. TV hadn't... 1978, TV had not arrived in this village. And the whole village got together with their spade. They dug a trench and they laid a cable so they could hear this.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So that was the BBC's theme for Argentina 70. But, yeah, I mean, you know, at the time, I can remember we English who were around in 1978 had a bit of a laugh at the Scots, and we thought, you know, the word hubris... I probably didn't know the word in those days, but the word hubris sort of suggested...
You thought he played for Brazil, didn't you?
Yes, hubris, midfielder, very, very skillful. No, I mean, that word sort of, that whole concept suggested it's... Because they went to Hampden Park and all the players were introduced one by one. They toured the country. They had the open top bus before they'd had the actual tournament, which is always tempting fate, isn't it? But you can understand in a way why they were so confident when you look at the team. You know, they had Dalglish, Souness, Martin Buchan, Lou McCarry, Jordan,
excellent side,
Bruce Rioch.
Yeah.
It's interesting that
Archie Gemmell, I mean, that was one of the great goals of all time.
Oh, fantastic goal. Too late, too little, too late. But, if no other award is given to the Scots for that 78 campaign, the most ill-prepared team of all time. You know, they got to their they got to their hotel in Alta Gracia. I think it was Alta Gracia. You probably know it better than me.
I haven't heard of Alta Gracia, to be honest.
He knows Inner Gracia, of course, but Alta Gracia's never been there.
It was sort of 10 miles outside Cordoba, which obviously where Scotland played their first phase of match. I think it was Alta Gracia.
That's what it's called. That was their base camp, wasn't it? Where they were stuck there.
Well, they were stuck, but the fans who got there, they were lauded. You know, people loved the kilts and all that. And there's a great story in it of some guy who's in his kitchen. One of the talking heads in his kitchen talking about, you know, the struggle to get to Argentina when they got to Gracia. They were welcomed and there was sort of meals laid on for them and events in the local bars. And he met this girl in the bar, had a nice evening with her and all that. And then at the end of the interview, you see, walks in through the kitchen door, and they've been married for 31 years. You know, it's full of great, great stories like that. But Ali McLeod, I think it was Gemmell who said it, but one of the, no, it was Bruce Rioch actually, who was obviously the captain at the time. And he's worn very well, Bruce Rioch. Oh. You know, I mean, Willie Johnston was interviewed. He's still with us, I'm delighted to say. Mm. But he did look like an old international footballer. Bruce Rioch looked more like the sort of guy who'd help you out with your property portfolio.
Oh,
he didn't look like a former international. He's very, you know, very straight. But it was brilliant to see all the memories. And, you know, what it meant to Scotland at the time, because it was the late 70s, and you had these shots at the start of, industrial decay and such like. And it was so important. It was a time. And, the Scottish National Party had just about started in a serious way. Winnie Ewing, if you remember, she was the first sort of Scot Nat.
That would be a great truth question. I never, ever would have got that, Winnie Ewing. I've heard the name, but I wouldn't have known this. Try that one out in the pub with your friend. If you can never go to the pub with your friends again, so
yes, but no, it's brilliant stuff. It's a fantastic documentary. And if football is romance, if you want the romance of football, it's absolutely there in this program. Yeah. Really good. And there's people like William McAvaney, who was obviously the brother of Hugh McAvaney, great novelist, discussing the campaign with Dennis Law in a pub. And all that. It's Dalgleish's great goal against Wales that he scored at Anfield, if you remember that. And there's also a lovely scene where I think it's Ali McLeod and Bruce Rioch being interviewed on the local radio station, Radio Clyde, on 261. And it's a clothing factory. And it's sort of those days when, when the ILR station, whichever the independent local radio station, was zooming out over the speakers while everybody worked. You know, it's such so redolent of a different era.
So go and check it out.
I'm sure there are factories up and down.
It's on the iPlayer, Martin, isn't it? So we should go and we'll go it and is. Check it out. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think factories have got Talk Sport on.
Well, they might
is
have.
That what you were going
to
say?
Hello to all, everybody.
They might have.
Yeah, they might be furloughed. As long as they're not, good afternoon to you all. If you're in a factory, let us know. It's like two-way family favourites. Martin, what else have you taken in this week? I think you've taken in the documentary, which is quite prescient, with the Merseyside Derby this weekend. Is this right?
Absolutely. Mm. Presumably that's the reason BT Sport played Two Tribes, which again has been one that's been played before, but they had it on in the evening after the Liverpool match this week. And again, very similar to the Scotland documentary, in that it was the sort of industrial era in the late 70s, early 80s, mostly actually, when Everton were very poor in the very early 80s, and they showed a bit of a match that Peter Reid reckons is the worst game ever. Fact.
Really?
Worst game ever. It was a 0-0 draw between Everton and Coventry in 1983, according to Peter Reid. Worst game ever. 13,669 people turned up at Goodison for that.
Wow.
I mean, that's a period when you did get very low crowds, didn't you, sort of very early 80s, late 70s. But it's all in there. It's great stuff. And then Everton revived, obviously, towards the middle of the 1980s. But there was a lot of politics in it. And there was a lot of music in it. Pete Wiley playing acoustically, from the mighty Wah. And there was all the you had lots of music from the great Liverpool revival in the early 80s. Some fantastic bands. Then the Pale Fountains, do you remember them?
Oh, yeah, really yeah, good.
Yeah. There was one or two other really good Liverpool bands in those days. So a lot of music in it. Pete Wiley playing acoustically, the story of the blues and everything. But there was also a lot of stuff about the unemployment rate and the huge decline in Liverpool at the Docks, and Derek Hatton played a big part in it. And we saw the speech when that Neil Kinnock made at the Labour Party conference in 85, it was, sort of killing the militant tendency in Liverpool. But you could see the appeal because the amount of decline and the Docks had closed down, they'd not been replaced. Yeah. And Liverpool was a bit of a national joke because at the same time, and they show clips of this as well, you had Harry Enfield with the old, calm down.
Yeah.
And you didn't realise just how much it was hated in Liverpool. Pete Wiley was talking about that. Also Derek Hatton and all the jokes about having your hubcaps stolen and all that. Mm. And if you weren't in Liverpool at the time, you know, didn't realise just what an effect that had. And there were clips from Boys from the Black stuff as well.
That sounds good.
It was a memory. Yeah, it's a great documentary because it does link up the politics, the music, and the football and everything, and some really good talking heads on the show.
And get you in the mood for the game at the weekend, of course.
Get you in the mood for the game.
Watch it tonight.
Different times. Different times.
You're back overnight, Martin, aren't you? Of course.
Yeah, very much hoping so. Yeah. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm, 1 o'clock in the morning through till six. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Through till six. And as we always say, prime time in Myanmar and various parts of Kuala Lumpur. And also a big hit in Alice Springs.
Oh, that's nice. Well,
so, yeah, looking forward to all that later on. Yeah.
Cheers, Martin. Thanks ever so much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As always, there's loads of great sport on this weekend. We're bringing you loads of live games here on the Talk Sport. But, you know, you may want to squeeze in a bit of non-sporting telly. Take a deep breath. And here to guide us through it this weekend is the Stars Brighton supporting Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon, guys.
It's very rare BBC One stick a film on mid-evening. I used to do it when I was a kid and probably when you were a kid, but very rarely these days. But
it's a good one, though.
What a film they're putting on. It's Stan and Ollie.
Great film. I don't normally talk about films, but I just love this film so much. And I thought, well, it's 8:30, BBC One tonight, or 8:25, I think, which is normally the time when, you know, it's just after EastEnders and before, you know, it's normally comedy evening, isn't it?
Yeah.
On Friday. Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly in this biography of Lauren Hardy. And it's just, people have sort of mixed feelings about Steve Coogan and because he's become so associated with one particular character. Pretty much everything else he's tried, people are a lot more skeptical about, a lot of the time. Whereas he was just brilliant in this.
Yeah.
And I just think that the portrayal was it was funny, but touching, but nothing too cloying about it. You know, it's about the latter stages of their career when they were over here trying to sort of, get their careers back on track. When clearly, Oliver Hardy wasn't in the greatest of health, and it was all a bit sad. But
it is a sad story. Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't overplay that sort of the pathos. It was just pitched just perfectly.
So yeah, it's a love. And Jeff Pope, who wrote it, came in and saw us when it came out, and saying to him, a real compliment. It's a film made with love. Everybody involved with this sort of clearly loves them and what they did, and everybody acting in it is the same. So
yeah
highly recommended if you haven't seen it. Later, that's 8:25 BBC One, 10 o'clock BBC Two. Later, with Jules Holland is back. Now he did a series in lockdown, didn't he? Where he kind of did stuff from home, which were extended interviews. So is he back in the studio?
It's his home studio. So right. No, it's more of the same. So I don't know to what extent he's going to sort of try and allow people in at a socially distant sort of setup.
But it's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? The whole point of that show is people are around the acts and it's quite noisy and people get involved.
I'll be honest, I've never, I think it's been a struggle when I've watched it. And also he has a tendency when he interviews people to get quite sort of, it goes very deeply into sort of the muso side of his personality, which can be a bit niche. And if he's got a particular guest on, that they are allowed to sort of ramble on a bit, like I'm doing, in fact, more than you want them to.
We'll give it a crack. I'm kind of with you. It didn't work quite as well, but I think, like a lot of TV shows, he's making the best of a situation.
I'm glad it's still there.
Indeed. Yes, always. It's always there's some good people on there.
Yeah.
I didn't see this last time it went out on BBC
Four. I did see it. Yeah, I quite liked it, but it didn't get great reviews, if I remember rightly.
This was the Kemps. Yeah,
all true. Yeah. The spoof documentary, Gary and Martin. I think the problem with it is that it's obviously came off the back of the Bross documentary, which wasn't really intended as a spoof.
No.
And I think the funniest, sometimes spoof documentary, to get it right, What's the one that the Brian Perk was the
character? Oh yes, the Thotch, the band.
Oh, I love Brian Perk,
which was fantastic.
That's beautiful. That's a brilliant spoof document. I think I felt as if they're trying just a wee bit too hard to be wacky, and they probably think the jokes are funnier than they are. That's what I would say. It's worth a look, though. It's
and the Bross one was kind of beyond parody. It's quite difficult to take that on.
And that's why it took off because it was precisely that.
Ant and Dec Saturday Night Takeaways back tomorrow. They got a studio audience in.
They've got a virtual audience. A big red curtain, they're telling us that's the biggest. Technically, it's the biggest audience they've ever had because they've got cameras in 300 homes, each of which can have maybe 3-4 people in a household. So technically, that makes their biggest audience, a bigger audience than they normally have in the actual real studio. But obviously, it's going to be a little bit different. But again, I think you remember the very, very early days of lockdown, it was Ant and Dec's Takeaway that was, I think they managed to do one last episode before they realised they couldn't be sort of seen stood side by side on the stage, and everything sort of, I think the very last episode of that series they were doing, via laptop, separate rooms or something or other, which is awful.
7 o'clock ITV tomorrow, The Wall versus Celebrities, Danny Dyer, but it's a bit of a sporting angle, it's a footballing angle.
I think we've got John Barnes and Chris Kamara together at last up against the Wall, and I think David Seaman turns up in one of the other celebrity shows before that. So there's quite a lot of sporting, ex sports stars doing their bit in Saturday Night.
This isn't Bring on the Wall. I've never seen.
No, this is different. This is a different. This is not Dale's old vehicle that Goffey was in that tinfoil suit.
It was a while since that's been on, hasn't it?
They did a couple of series, and that was that. So on Sunday, no dancing on ice because there's so many of them. They've got such a casualty list.
Amazing. They actually just said, I thought for a moment they called the whole thing off. I actually read the news when it sort of flashed up. I thought, wow, they just abandoned it. They've given up, which would have been a bit extreme having gone for that. No, I think they've decided that because of, I think Jason Donovan got injured and then one of the professional skaters hurt his finger. That's a novel one, hurting your finger, but then... I guess if you, I don't know, I don't even want to think about how you hurt your finger. If you do.
No, it's but like you still have a finger, of course, if you hurt your finger in ice skating, aren't you, really?
I think they've just decided for 1 week, let's take stock.
Get everybody fit again. Just had to call the game off. Wonder if they'll be fined for calling the game off. It's a bit like that. As long as they had 7 fit dancers, they should have gone out there and done it.
They should have done
it. Put some kids in.
Yeah.
So, and then 9 p.m. though.
The greatest hits thing.
Yeah. That's 6 p.m. ITV Dancing on Ice. Yes, Andy?
Yeah, 9 p.m. could be the highlight of the weekend, I think, this one.
Big new drama series with James Nesbitt.
He's always good, isn't he? He did... he played a character years ago. He's played a few cop characters over the years, hasn't he? But this one is... he plays a guy who... The story is that a car has been pulled out of a river... and there seems to be some murder, a connection with an assassin, an infamous assassin, who we discover murdered was linked with the murder of his character's wife many years ago. So he's on the hunt for this assassin. Is it really the same guy, or is it somebody pretending to be the guy who killed his wife? We don't know, but it's going to be him sort of getting to grips with an inquiry that he's been actively encouraged not to get involved with. So,
how many parts is this, Mike? Is it a
4?
4-parter, okay. Right.
It's Jed Mercurio, isn't it, as well?
Oh, is it really? Oh, yes, okay.
Rattles along nicely. There's not too much padding. 4 episodes is good. I like a 4-episode drama. There should be more of those.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mike. We'll catch up with you next week. Enjoy the football. It's not till Monday, is it?
It's not till Monday.
Enjoy the derby.
I will do.
Take care. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy is back with me on Monday. We do it all again there. Among our guests, Sanjeev Bhaskar, a new series of Unforgotten, his fine TV series on ITV on Monday. We'll be looking at the new Pelé documentary as well next week with the makers of that. So until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy all the sport. You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.